Hello, everyone. It's Molly Wood. This is Make Me Smart Daily Edition. It's Happy Hour Friday, otherwise known as Economics on Tap. Hope you're joining us in the live stream.
Yeah.
If any of you are in there, at least one person.
You look good.
At least one person has already reported drinking a Stone IPA.
Oh, there you go.
It's spreading.
Is that Greg Cook?
Yep.
Is it?
Nope, it's Hans Meyer.
He listens, you know.
It could be Greg under a pseudonym, but he's in there as Hans.
Could be. So let's see. First of all, we are live on YouTube. Molly said that. Subscribe. Marketplace 8 p.m. Hit the button. Blah, blah, blah. I am not having a Stone this week because I'm out of Stone. I found a brewery out in Monrovia, California, which is a little bit, east of Los Angeles. Really teeny tiny little craft brew shop called Hop Secret. There it is for the camera. And I am having a Star Hazer Hazy IPA, and it's quite refreshing. I will just say that.
Nice. Good work.
Yes. Yeah.
I, once again, made the terrible mistake of trying to just squeeze in a little Rage Run right before the show. So I couldn't quite bring myself to have, I'm just having a Coke and a smile. I was like, I just need an ice cold Mexi-Coke. I'm just not quite ready for the afternoon beer.
That's
so
fair.
Solidarity with my non-drinker friends. Because it is so hot out, you guys. I made a terrible mistake.
I don't understand why you're running the heat.
Coke in a bottle.
I get out of bed early.
Yes, it's because I'm not good at getting out of bed early. That's why.
Well, yeah.
That is not my thing.
So you had a couple, I believe. Do you need time to process those? And should I go do you want to go?
I fixed it. I have consolidated.
All right.
They are of a piece.
Well, then hit it.
I have two links.
You
they are the same story. this is why I had to go on a rage run. Yeah. No, you should all know that this happened roughly like 17 seconds before the show. I was like, oh, hey, wait, this goes with this. And then these are the thing. And then I'm so prepared.
Literally.
If I hadn't told you all that, you would have believed me. The only thing that I have been thinking about all week is, and it's somewhat appropriate that we actually started the week on Tuesday.
Yeah,
we didn't, but you know what I mean. On Tuesday, we did this episode about childcare and what is going to happen to kids and what is going to go on with schools and how can we support working families if we think that we're reopening the economy.
Right.
Now, when we asked that question, we definitely did not mean for the answer to be open the schools or else. Oh, and
that is clearly the mandate, yes.
That, however, is apparently the mandate that is coming from the White House. Open the schools or else, and P.S., there's not going to be we don't want there to be a plan for how to open the schools. We are not going to spend the next 6 weeks mobilizing every factory in America to create PPE and masks for kids and teachers. We're not going to, manufacture massive amounts of plexiglass to put between desks. We'd rather not even have the CDC issue guidelines that seem difficult and expensive, even though packing all our children and teachers into schools when the question of transmissibility is not settled science with respect to children does seem like something that frankly should be tough and expensive.
Yeah.
So that's not what we meant.
And it's okay that it's expensive, by the way, because it's super, super important. It's super important. It's so important.
It kind of is important. And it's not like people don't want schools to be open. They do.
Right.
Parents want that.
Right.
And they want it to be safe. And they want to know that there's a plan for it. And I think that is why. And yet, without that, there is some reluctance, which I think is why we are seeing the CDC push back on President Trump's complaints that the guidelines for safely reopening schools are too difficult and expensive. And we're seeing pediatricians groups who, many of whom, by the way, really do believe that it would be better for kids to be back in school. That, in fact, there may be a calculated risk that is worth taking if it means that we don't, you know, desocialize our kids and have negative educational outcomes and have them fall behind in learning. But they want there to be a plan. The American Academy of Pediatrics then joined together with teachers' unions and school superintendents and basically saying, we cannot believe that you would threaten to withhold federal funding from schools that are already broke. Broke.
Right.
Because state and city budgets have been decimated as some sort of weird, you have to open schools. Like the fact that this, and I even read a story this week that said the issue is becoming increasingly politicized. And that just broke me. I'm not even gonna lie. That just broke me. Like the idea that this would be politicized, that kids are like in the same category as masks. Like, wow.
So, yes, totally. So two things. Number one, to that politicization point, before we started the pod, I was inside and my wife was texting with a buddy of ours who was on the local school reopening committee. And it was me and my wife in the living room with the three of our children who are home now, two of whom are in the local school system, right? I've got a seventh grader and she's gonna be in eighth grade. Come on, Kai. And Soren's gonna be a junior, right? But we chatted about you know, what the current thinking is, and teachers want this, and administrators need this, and blah blah blah. And then my wife said to me, "Do you think all this pressure from the Trump administration on schools is leaking down to this level?" That is to say, individual towns. I mean, I live in a town of 20-something thousand people on the outskirts of Los Angeles. And I'm like, yes, of course it is. That's the way the megaphone works. That's the way the politicization of this thing works. And it's bananas and crazy-making. So that's point number one.
Well, it's bananas and crazy-making because, like, if you don't have a plan, you're not serious.
Mm-hmm.
It's just unserious.
Yep. Yeah,
and
for sure.
Dangerous.
Yep.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to say actually is, point two, on The Daily, that, you know, other podcast that I would bet a lot of listeners to this podcast happen to listen to, Don McNeil from the New York Times was on. He's their science and clearly the last 6 months, the infectious disease correspondent. He had some really interesting thoughts about school and risk and what have you. And so I commend that to everybody. Go give that a listen. Even if, well, never mind. Give it a listen. It's good.
Yeah. Well, and look, there's another area where we could mobilize in this country.
Oh,
do we
sure.
want school to be open in the fall? Great. You've got 6 weeks to commission as big a study as you can possibly commission on transmissibility, on the actual numbers of kids who fall ill with what appears to be a very serious disease. Like, you know, do the work. Do the work.
And
you don't get to sit there and say things like, if Disney World can open, so can schools.
Well, who
you know how much money Disney has?
But that's a whole different thing.
Well, yeah.
I know.
Hey, I don't understand that. But do you know how much money? Sure. Great. Awesome. How about this? How about this? If schools are given federal funding to put in place all of the exact same procedures that Disney World has, I'm down. I'm in. That sounds great.
Yes.
Virtually unlimited money and organization. Yep. The most effective benevolent fascism you will ever come across is Disney and Disney World and Disneyland. And if you put that kind of investment into opening schools, let's talk.
Right.
I'm all over it. That sounds super.
Right.
Otherwise,
right.
you are unserious and you are politicizing the lives of children and the teachers who teach them. You know what's really powerful in this country, by the way, I hear? Teachers' unions.
What's that? Well, yes, we had that was part of the conversation that we had in the living room right before I came on here, and what the teachers are. Look, with no small amount of legitimacy, right? Because they're the ones who are going to be stuck with, you know, even if it's 50% of the kids in the class, right? They're going to be in there, and they're going to have to do online teaching and real life teaching, and how's that going to work? And I mean, there are some serious challenges, but we are not taking this seriously. I think your point is exactly right. We're not taking this seriously, for sure.
Do the work.
100%.
Do the work. Just this one time. I'm doing the work. I'm just saying. I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to be doing. Anyway, your turn.
Okay. So mine is a follow-on to a conversation we had yesterday, the other day. Mm-hmm. I can't even remember because the days run together. Sorry. Hang on. Wait. Beer burp. Okay.
I love the Lila on the Friday show. Anything can happen.
It's real. It's real. So this morning, blaring headlines across Twitter and the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times, Amazon is telling all of its employees to take TikTok off its devices. Hundreds of thousands of people. And as we talked about the other day, this whole banish TikTok thing is in some ways real and in some ways tilting at windmills, right? And then about an hour ago, the headline in the Journal anyway, which is the one I saw, was Amazon says email ordering employees to delete TikTok was sent in error, which kind of goes to your point, just to close the loop, of this idea of banning it, which Pompeo has talked about and Trump, I think, has talked about, is just, it's not serious, you know, because mostly
or
it's
something.
Impossible, you know? Right.
Yeah.
I just, it's just so interesting, you know?
I like really need to know more about the email and how an email like that gets sent in error.
Right.
Like, I wonder if somebody just sort of went rogue at Amazon, because there was this guy, we've been passing this around the tech show Slack all day. There was this guy who recently did a deep dive into TikTok, like just a guy, an engineer. And he was like, I reverse engineered TikTok and wow, is it bad?
Is it bad?
I'll send you the Reddit thread. Yeah, he was like, that's matter of data collection, it is absolutely so much worse than you think it is. And so that's been sort of like making the rounds. And I think that one of the things that suggested was that TikTok might have like a keylogger built in. That's sort of like
what was in
the Amazon email.
Tell people what a keylogger is.
Which is like basically the ability to capture whatever you are typing into your computer or phone keyboard.
So look, like, here comes
stuff.
A serious question from an actual parent to a technology journalist of long standing. That is me asking you this question. Should I make my kids delete their TikToks?
I mean, this is why I find this so fascinating, because like, there's no explaining this to the children, especially not if they think it's like a political conspiracy to silence their speech.
Right. Which we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, probably, you know, but do they have Facebook or do they use Google or do they this or that? Like, it's a really tough, it would be very hard to argue that this is worse than Instagram at some point, right? Because I don't know if the keylogger thing is true. Like, I'm not really sure. I don't know how the security compares to other things, but yeah. But wow. The guys, you know, on Reddit, he was like, TLDR, too long, didn't read. I'm a nerd who figures out how apps work for a job. Calling in an advertising platform is an understatement. TikTok is essentially malware that is targeting children. Don't use TikTok. Don't let your friends and family use it.
Oh my God.
That's what he said.
So I'm gonna have to claw TikTok from my 16-year-old's cold, dead hands, right? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, maybe. And so then I don't know if like this is... Why? I wonder, like, did someone inside Amazon just go, this is terrible, we got to get rid of it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm so curious. But what's really funny is that originally I was late with my links today, but I was going to put that that email story as my make me smile, because the whole thing is just like, what is even happening?
It's insane. It's insane.
What is even happening?
All right, speaking of make me smile, because we're running long here. We're running long. We promise people 15 minutes, maybe 20 on a Friday, whatever. It's our podcast.
Well, yeah, we told them 19. But yes.
Okay.
Begin the smiling.
All right, Ben Tolliday. There you go. Didn't even have to call him. Here we go. Ha. Huh. All right. I feel so much better now. Okay.
Your make me smiles are
I love mine, so
weepers.
I'm going to.
Oh, God.
I love my make me smile so much. So, one of my very favorite movies of all time is The Princess Bride for 1,000 reasons. Okay. Mm-hmm. Inconceivable. And hello, my name is Inigo Montoya.
You killed my father. I don't think that word means what you think it means.
I know. I love it. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that really gets me from that film is the use of the phrase as you wish, which basically means, oh my God. Oh my God. Wait, stop. Mm-hmm. Shut up. I'm not going there. Basically means I love you, right? So, number one, if you haven't seen the film, watch the film. Number two, there is a fan film version of that movie making the rounds, in which regular people and celebrities and what have you have filmed versions of it, specifically the key scenes, okay? And one of the ones that I saw go by today was, was Rob Reiner. Okay, with his father, Carl Reiner, who died at the age of 98, about a week or so ago, doing the last scene in the movie. And if you know the last scene in the movie, it's all about Princess Buttercup and oh my God, I can't remember Cary Elwes's character. What's his name? Anyway, whatever. The good guy. Mm-hmm. Having that last kiss, right? And there have been five kisses in the history of mankind, which have been amazing, and this one topped them all. And so they redid the scene, and this won't make sense unless you've seen the movie, so seen the movie. It's Rob Reiner as the Fred Savage character, and Carl Reiner, his dad, as the Peter Falk character. And this was filmed like a week before he died. I mean, something crazy before Carl Reiner died. And the last scene is Carl Reiner saying to his son, and it was all filmed on Zoom, right? So they're all remote. The last scene is Carl Reiner saying to his son, Rob, playing the younger character, as you wish. And there you go. See the film. Watch the clip. It's on our page.
It's so great. I just watched it again on mute. Now I'm all weepy again.
Yeah, no, it's
Wesley.
Great. It's great. I cannot remember. Wesley, thank you. God.
Thank you, YouTube chat. Yes. That was not me. I didn't remember. Yeah. You're a bittersweet kind of dude. But I think that's a good place to end it.
That's gonna be the title of my memoir. You're a bittersweet kind of dude.
A bittersweet kind of dude. It is look just at this. About the sweetest.
So here's Tony. Not only is Hamilton on Disney Plus, Princess Bride is on Disney Plus. Oh, also, sorry, I'm just scrolling through this here. I'm going to break the mood, but whatever, yeah. I'm going to break the mood, but, you know, it's Friday, so beer. Good from Tony Wagner. Good question in the chat for later. Does Kai chill his glass before filling his beer? No. Room temperature glass, cold beer. Don't mess around with that.
That was so vehement, too. He's like, no, definitely not.
Chill glasses are BS, man. Okay, that's what I got.
Is it because they get all condensation and...
Yes. Who needs that?
Slimy. Yeah.
Room temperature glass, cold beer. Let's move on.
Good to know. Okay. I got just a super quick one before we go, which is
I want to do yours because it's cool. Because cool. I saw it and I wanted to go out and look. Yeah, but I couldn't.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about this, and it like nicely dovetails with my letting you guys know I will not be here next week.
Wait, what?
It does. Because I'm going up to the mountains, by God. I'm fleeing. Don't worry. I'm taking all my food with me. I'm not going to we're not like even going near other humans. And I am going to spend every night looking for the comet C2020 F3 NEOWISE, or just NEOWISE for short, which has apparently been in orbit around Earth. I might have already missed it. But apparently it's been spectacular, this big comet.
Yeah.
I think it's still happening. I think it's still going on, even if just this weekend. Yeah. But it literally is just I don't know, looking at comets and things like that. And when you just have a chance to see, I don't know, interstellar coolness, it is a good reminder that this is we are just a nanosecond in time, a bunch of little specks. Which is actually kind of reassuring sometimes. Around July 11th, starting tomorrow, Saturday, the comet will start to appear in the evening just after sunset in the northwestern sky below the Big Dipper constellation, or Ursa Major. It should be visible for at least another week, maybe even longer. So if you need a break, break and a reminder of your own smallness, which was frankly helpful, go outside and look at the sky.
Do that.
That's my plan.
Do that.
That's my plan. Yep. And I will see you all in one more week. That is it for us. Send the questions and comments and the voice memos to makemesmart@marketplace.org because the team will still be here looking at them. Sign up for our newsletter, marketplace.org/newsletters, because Erica will still be here writing them. And Kai and Kimberly, right? Are with you all next week.
Kimberly is Monday through Thursday, and then Rima is on Friday.
Greatest hits.
Yeah.
Get the greatest hits. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Our video producer is Ben Hethcote. Our video intern is Ethan Peretz. The great Ethan Peretz. And thanks to writer-producer Erica Phillips.
So I guess we're done with the abuse the intern phase of this podcast.
Exactly. No. Now we're making amends. Right. This is the the amends part.
There you go. That's fair enough. Ben Tolliday was in charge today. Our theme music was composed by Ben and Daniel Ramirez. The executive director of On Demand is Sitar Nieves. She produced the program this week as well. Senior produced, I suppose. Senior vice president, whatever that is. What does a senior producer do? We should have her on, actually. We should interview her and say, excuse me, what do you do? Senior Vice President and General Manager Deborah Clark.
What does that mean?
Oh, man. What do you do? Justify yourself.
What do you do?
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.